Once again, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, who are keenly aware that dogs have owners and cats have staff.
This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we're talking this morning with Howard Soldin II from Soldin's Pets, and we've got with us Dave Rinke, the president of Wolverton, the pet supply company. And what's interesting, Rick, about both these companies is they actually began not necessarily in the pet business. Dave, I understand your business began as a garden store as much as anything else, correct?
That is correct. Wolverton was established in 1940, actually down on Center Street, our building backed right up to the current location of Preuss Pets. But yeah, we were a garden and pet supply retailer. That was in 1940. In 1965, my father and his partner at that time, Leonard Parks, purchased the company from Mayo Wolverton. Shortly after that, they decided to become strictly wholesale. And at the same time, they also decided that they were going to stick just with pets, pet items, and pet supplies and get out of the garden supply business.
Interesting. And Howard, in terms of your business, again, you began as more of a feed supply, more so than pets. And pets is something that you, if I read correctly, kind of brought around sometime in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, when my dad purchased in 55, he was catering to chicken farmers, pig farmers, horse customers. He had a big salt business. He'd drive his truck to, I think it was St. Louis, Michigan, and get a load of water softener salt. And anything to break your back, he was dealing in, you know, just bales of hay and straw. And, you know, I think the feed bags back in those days were 80, 90-pound bags, you know. And so it was all pretty labor-intensive, no fork trucks or anything fancy like we have now. But yeah, it was more of the large animal, very, very little pet. I mean, nobody really fed their dog back in the 50s. They just, whatever was laying around from dinner, scraps, they'd throw out, and yeah, and that's what Fido would get, you know. And I remember the very first dog foods he had weren't even a chunk. They were a meal. And I think he just mixed it with water, and it made like a gravy or like a gruel or whatever. And that's what the dog would get. So, you know, very, very, very little pet. And then that just slowly evolved. He had like a little pawn shop in the store for a while where somebody had an old trombone or something they wanted $10 for, he'd do that, you know, whatever it was to keep the feed on the table for the kids, you know.
But the
pet thing evolved as the U.S. evolved with pets, more, you know, more caring for their pets and loving their pets and taking better care of them.
Yeah,
and
less agriculture. You know, less people doing
Yeah, he was also in the lawn and garden business and things like that. And, you know, the store was small, so as the pet industry kind of evolved, we had to get rid of some of that slow-moving lawn and garden type things and some of the bigger feed items and put in more of the pet supplies. Now, that all, I wasn't involved a lot in the decisions because I was just a kid then. But when we got back in 1976, that's kind of when the pet industry was really, I don't know, starting to take off. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot in the Lansing area like there is now. You know, where to buy your food. Pretty much everybody bought their pet food at the grocery store.
Right.
And your Purina dog chows and your cat chows and your puppy chow, that was what everybody thought was the best, and that's what they fed.
I think one of the, if I may interrupt just a minute, one of the things that really gave the pet especially the pet specialty, which is our business, a shot in the arm was the realization of nutrition. And you are what you eat. And so some of the manufacturers started coming out with premium pet foods. And the consumer started realizing the difference between table scraps and as Howard said, gruel and things like that, that they would just feed their animal, and what a difference it would make to feed a more of a premium pet food, something that actually had some nutritional benefits. And that was in the late 70s and through the 80s. And that from that point, the industry just really, really took off.
Yep. Right. And how, during that same period, I would think one of the other issues that started to take off was, Howard, you mentioned it, was the affection that people had for their animals. They started seeing them a little bit more as family members, it seems, and a little bit less as pets. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, and that's another, you know, like Dave was saying with the nutrition, it was the other items, the dog bowls and the collars and the leashes and the flea products and the, you know, everything that just wasn't around before. So, I mean, it's amazing. Even now, Rick and myself and Dave go to the trade shows, and you cannot believe the items that are available now. Some of them we just kind of shake our head and like, that's not going to sell, but it does.
Yeah. You know, so. Yeah.
crazy stuff. But yeah, I think back in the day, you know, we two, three, four varieties of pet food. I think we're up to 300-400 now, just in dog alone that people can choose from. So
wow.
Yeah. And the pet is a family member, more so now than it.
Yeah.
Was back in this before the 70s and early on. People had pets just because they thought they should have one. Now, and a lot of it is because of the boomers, if you will, and,
yep.
and
empty nesters.
Empty nesters, exactly. You get that undying gratitude and love from a pet that makes us all feel good.
Yeah, right.
So they're treated accordingly.
Yeah. And I would have to say that if there's any energy that I'm sure it's that case for Howard and Dave as well, but for me, you know, right there in the trenches, I think, you know, the purpose of being in business and the purpose of punching things forward and being kind of that hard worker that's necessary, lifting bags of food and whatnot, really centers around more the human element than the pet element. The pet element is the most substantial part of our business, but it's what those pets kind of bring to the table as far as that the woman that lost her husband or that family that, you know, is small, but you know, a pet just makes that dynamic that much better, or somebody that can't have children, and all of a sudden, you know, that pet becomes an important part. Because our outer world is kind of that colder, more impersonal world than what your dad was in.
Right.
You know, when we were in a livestock agrarian society, you know, we were all kind of warm and fuzzy to some extent. We knew our neighbor. We knew who each other was.
Right.
We don't have that as an opportunity. So, you know, Howard, myself, and to a little more distant approach for Dave, you know, we get to serve that particular element, and that's the energy, or that's the real drive that really makes good things happen.
Yeah.
Well, and Rick, you talk about an important ingredient of this whole thing, because as you think about it, back in the 60s, 70s, people actually had kids. They had big families,
mm-hmm. right.
whereas now you see more and more people, of whom I'm part of that group, where you don't mm-hmm. have children, you have dogs,
right.
or you have cats, or
mm-hmm.
you have animals mm-hmm. that play that role of the children much more, and that could be feeding part of what gives Dave 16,000 SKUs
right.
to distribute.
And growing,
never enough.
Yeah.
To everybody else.
Something we don't have.
Right? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Precisely.
That's right.
But one of the other changes that I also noticed that took place probably toward the end of the 80s and into the early 90s is the evolution from the mom and pop pet store
yeah.
toward what's described as the big box category killer
right.
type stores in industries. And the one example I brought up during the break that I noticed that really stands in a stark comparison to the pet industry is the office supply industry. You got a couple of businesses in there, and it essentially wiped out not just the mom-and-pop retailers, but even a lot of the wholesalers that were in that business, whereas not so true in the pet industry. If you guys can talk about that, we'll start with Howard and work our way around the room. Talk about how the evolution of the big box pet stores has forced you to change how you do business or readdress the way that you do business.
Yeah, interesting. I think our first competitor in Lansing was a company called Pet Supplies Plus, and that would have been late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I would say Lansing. Late 80s.
They were a pretty small company at the time. I think that was their third store in Michigan, and I think they're up to 300 now,
right,
nationwide, something
right
like that. But anyway, it kind of taught us to be more professional, and forced us to expand our hours. You know, we were normally 8 to 6, 5 days a week. I think we closed at like 3 or 4 on Saturday and not open on Sunday. And we immediately changed our hours to accommodate the consumer because our competitor was doing that. And yeah, we had to do major adjusting, but we still wanted to keep the hometown feel. We wanted to keep the advice that we give consumers as they come in, and that was what not only they lacked at the time, but you know, the big box stores lack. They don't have the service that Soldens and Pruce has. So you know, yeah, it's been a challenge, and we've just kind of evolved, and we keep changing, and we change with the times. But like I say, we want to still keep the small store feel. And I don't know. I could go on and on about it. It's you know, like you say, with the office supply industry, I saw what it did to that, and to some extent, it has done it to our industry too. There's a lot less mom and pop stores, not only in Michigan but the whole nation, because of these, you know, conglomerates that have come about. You know, not only that, there's the grocery stores have expanded their pet sections. There's the Sam's Clubs. The gas stations sell, you know, corn now out on the side of the, you know, building, and it's just, and you just gotta adapt and keep your face out there and evolve.
And Dave, how has it affected in the larger supplying business? Has it
in the distribution?
Yeah,
we have much like the office supply, much like the hardware stores, you know, the home repair, do-it-yourselfer kind of stores, lumber yards. That's the economy that we live in. I mean, that's the world that, and quite honestly, I find myself going to Home Depot instead of going to someplace where I would have gone a few years ago. But as far as the actual effect on the industry, I think it's done a pretty good job of weeding out the professionals or the non-professionals and keeping the professional people in the business. To Howard's point, you know, you sharpen up your game, you do things that you really didn't want to do, but now you have to do, and it makes you a better business person because of it. We're still getting a tremendous amount of interest of people wanting to get into the business, but they're not as much hobbyists as they used to be. They're now professional business people.
Right. And Rick, I know the answer for your business. It made you put a bus in a hut inside of a large building. So I know what the answer is there. But we're going to take a break. And after the break, I want to take the conversation to talk about just how many people are employed here in mid-Michigan in just these three businesses alone, and what businesses can do in order to help when it comes to keeping the job market growing. Right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.